Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. Thank you for your presence here. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the road to sign as well. If you're a visitor here for the first time this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd like to invite you to visit with us in the back of the church after service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do drop by. Let us know this is your first visit. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave this morning. We're grateful for everyone's presence last week at the 13th annual Stanley Otto Bean Fellowship lunch. We had $566 and some change that was contributed to the church's food pantry during that lunch. So thank you each for your attendance and your contributions to our church's food pantry. Please read through the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the upcoming game night, the Baby Grace diaper drive, the wellness support group, and the parents support group that Katie Turner would like to begin with the support of several others here in our fellowship, as well as the Disciple Women's Spring Retreat and the Visiting Scholar Program, all in your bulletin this morning. And please do stop by the table back in the foyer and consider putting your name on our list of volunteers to help take the Jacobo kids to or from school this upcoming week. You can volunteer for any morning or any afternoon, or you may volunteer for multiple days if you wish. It's a very pleasant way to start or end a day with the company of some pretty special kids. And I'll note that this week is a four-day school week. They will not be in session on Friday, so just Monday through Thursday this week. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. His name will be praised now and forever.
From the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord.
The Lord rules over all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Let us sing hymn number 330, all stanzas.
Alleluia, hear God's story still unfolding with each dawn. Taste the wine and body broken, God's creative love lives on. Who the neighbor, who the hungry, who is thirsty for shalom? God of journey, in your story, lead us with the neighbor home. Alleluia, sing the story, God's great faithfulness proclaim. Tell of prophets and apostles, sing the power of Jesus' name. Who the neighbor, who the listener, who has ears to hear our song? God of history, tune our voices, make our hopeful witness strong. Alleluia, dance a story, every sin you now engage. Tethered close in truthful worship, boldly face our coming age. Who the neighbor, who the watchful, who will welcome life's embrace? God of gospel, tell the story through our dancing of your grace.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. O gracious God, we find comfort as we gather in this warm sanctuary this morning. Our bodies warmed by the furnaces within our building, as well as by the love and companionship of our brothers and sisters in our church family. We find safety here as we express our faith openly, knowing that we are free to do so in this country without the overt persecution that exists in other parts of the world. O Lord, we do give thanks for the blessings we have as American citizens, as Christians, and as members of this place of worship here at Berry Christian Church. We seek your presence now, Lord, as we begin our worship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing from page 190, the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Here she comes. Good morning. Oh, what do we have here? What's this? And what do we have coming up this week that we make hearts for? Valentine's Day, right. And what do we celebrate for Valentine's Day? What's Valentine's Day all about? That's right. Love. It's love. We celebrate love. And there's all kinds of, when you look it up, there's all kinds of different opinions about who started Valentine's Day and why. My daddy used to think it Hallmark started it, but I don't know that for sure. Anyway, Valentine's Day is a day, we just kind of a special day, we celebrate love. People we love. But we really should kind of celebrate love all the time, shouldn't we? Don't you think? Yeah. Why do you think maybe we should celebrate love all the time? Where did love first come from? Huh? God. God gave us love. He's the one that first, he loves us so much. He's the one that first gave us love. So I decided today we're going to have, I'm going to call today Christian Love Day. Not Valentine's Day for all those cards and flowers and jewelry and other stuff like that, that most of us have way too much of anyway. So I'm going to need the help of the congregation for this one. We're going to share some love. We're all going to share some love. And we're going to do that by, we're going to have the sign for "We Love You." So if the congregation could all stand up for me, and you guys stand up for me, can you do that? And we're going to show you how to do "We Love You." So it's your finger, your index finger, and it's from one shoulder to the other, which is "We." Just kind of a little circle from one shoulder to the other, "We." And "Love" is just crossed arms. Yeah, just like that. And "You." "You" is that finger again. And I point at you. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Yeah? So can we all do it together? "We love you." Very good. Thank you, congregation. I appreciate it. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us love, for loving us so much that you gave us Jesus, for loving us so much that you breathed life into us, for loving us so much that our sins are forgiven if we just repent of them. Help us to share our love with everyone, but especially those in our family and our congregation. Please be with all of us today and keep us safe on our icy roads. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you will stop right by, Miss Barber has a treat for each one of you as you go by. See her, the lady in pink right there? If you'll just walk by her, she'll give you a treat as you go by. Go ahead. Don't trip over the cord, please.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. We are so delighted that Christina and Michael are able to be present with us this morning, not only with their daughters, Akir and Ayam, but now also with their son, Marial. Praise God. We are so glad you all are here today. We are just rejoicing in the birth of your son just a few weeks ago, and Christina is so glad you and Michael and all your family could be here today. God bless you all. Please make sure you say hello before you leave today. In our prayers as we journey through the week, we want to lift up Lynn Fleming's father, Frank Height. It seems that this past Friday he had a minor stroke and is undergoing some ongoing tests for that, as well as medication. So please remember Frank in your prayers. Also, Ted Gorman is over at North Kansas City Hospital, was admitted there yesterday. It seems that with some pains in his chest and his arm, they're concerned about what is happening with his heart. And so he'll be undergoing a heart catheterization quite likely tomorrow. So please remember Ted and Kathy in your prayers. Also tomorrow, Juanita Feltz will be undergoing a 4 to 5 day radioisotope procedure at the Shawnee Mission Medical Center for a tiny cancerous growth in one of her eyes. That's a very significant concern. So please remember Juanita in your prayers. We're not able to go see her because that's an isolation kind of concern during that procedure, but please remember her in prayer. Sheila Killian also will be undergoing a rather extensive foot surgery tomorrow around 1 o'clock at North Kansas City Hospital. We also want to lift up John and Dorinda Hoke. This past week, John and Dorinda went from Florida over to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston and went through a special type of MRI procedure. They were able to discover that John now has another type of aggressive tumor beside where some of these other tumors that have been treated resides. So again, very significant concern for John and Dorinda. They then flew back to Florida, you know, as Dorinda is having some shows down there. I'm assuming at this point that additional treatments may be taking place at MD Anderson, but I don't have that yet confirmed with them. But please keep them in your prayers, as they know, you know, this has been a long-standing concern for them. We want to lift up Catherine O'Neill as she is home dealing with that pain that she has in the right leg. Anna Egret is now home, recovering from foot surgery last week. And we also remember Nathan Carrington's father, Joe, who's dealing with cancer, and also with Betty Barnes as she is continuing treatments for cancer. And certainly there have been a number of other people we've been lifting up in prayer. And Barbara, is okay.
They are trying to figure out where they're going to put him, but he will be under hospice care because his cancer, his lung cancer has gone to his liver and now it's gone to his brain.
Okay. Susan Cox's brother. And his brother?
Brother-in-law.
Okay. And his name, do we know?
Dave.
It says, I'm sorry. Parvin with a P. Okay. Dave Parvin for Susan Cox's brother-in-law. Okay. Thank you, Barbara, for sharing that. May we bow our heads before the Lord's prayer for the Lord's time in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, with praise and thanksgiving, we assemble in your house this Lord's day. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we rejoice in the fellowship that strengthens us, as we also are renewed by your Spirit. As we offer you praise, we also know that we are privileged to offer our petitions in prayer as we lay our burdens at the foot of the cross. For as Matthew chapter 11 tells us, as Jesus declares, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and carry heavy loads, and I will give you rest." With each and every name and family that we mention week after week, we realize, O God, that the burdens of many are indeed long-lasting. And as each of us make our way through life, we realize that burdens encroach upon us as we strive to dwell in a fallen, fallible, and frail worldly existence. Yet we find assurance for ourselves and for others as we call upon your presence through your word, realizing that as we muddle through our burdens, there is always that opportunity for us to offer sympathetic and empathetic support for others through our own suffering. For as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction." Thus, may we never fail in our task of offering comfort to others, as we also bring our prayers of praise and our petitions for the needs of others before your throne. For as we strive to ever be faithful in our love for you and others, we recognize that we will indeed be victorious now and forever. Thus, we offer this prayer in thanksgiving, as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Joy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
We have two scriptural passages to read this morning. The first one is from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10, and can be found in your pew Bible on pages 244 and 245. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you should say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Our second reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 1109. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thus he has given us through these things his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust, and may become participants in the divine nature. For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind, and is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election, for if you do this, you will never stumble.
Thank you.
In the study of Francis Havergal's father, who happened to be a pastor, there was a motto of a picture of Jesus, or underneath the picture of Jesus. The motto simply stated, "I did this for thee, what hast thou done for me?" Coming home one tired and weary January day back in 1858, Francis's eye fell upon that motto, which compelled her to sit down and scribble with a pencil on a scrap of paper the words of a hymn that dwelt upon that haunting question, "What hast thou done for me?" After being inspired to scribble down the verses of this hymn, she stood up and she walked over to the fireplace and she tossed the scrap of paper toward it. Yet the scrap of paper containing those words caught the draft, and instead of falling upon the logs that were burning, it simply wafted out away from the fire and fell on the floor at her feet. She then decided to retrieve the hurried verses, and she showed them to her father. He encouraged Francis to save the words. And later, when she became an accomplished hymn writer herself, she completed what we now have before us this morning as our communion hymn. Thus, today we are challenged, even on the most weary of our days, by the words of the hymn, "Thy life was given for me, thy blood, O Lord, was shed, that I might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. Thy life was given for me. What have I given for thee?" We prepare our hearts to receive the elements representing Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. As we turn to our communion hymn, "Thy life was given for me," it's hymn number 345, as we sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Thy life was given for me, thy blood, O Lord, was shed, that I might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. Thy life was given for me, what have I give for thee? Thy life was given for me, what have I given for thee? And thou hast brought to me, down from thy home above, salvation full and free, thy pardon and thy love. Great gifts thou broughtest me, what have I brought to thee? Great gifts thou broughtest me, what have I brought to thee?
Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." We bow our heads in prayer as Don leads us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege we have to come around this table. And as we stand here, we give thanks for the greatest gift of all that was ever given, the gift of eternal and everlasting life. and all that's required of us is just to believe in you. We ask you to bless these emblems for the nourishment of our spiritual body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you. toiling through the duration of one's life,
it's rather humbling to realize that according to a study from just a few years ago, about 46% of American senior citizens have less than $10,000 in financial assets at the time of their death, most being solely dependent upon Social Security in the final years of their life. Looking at the global scale, however, that $10,000 in assets puts those Americans among the world's wealthiest, as 71% of the entire world's population possesses only 3% of the world's wealth. Yet, despite such humbling statistics, our Lord reminds us that in Christ, we are all indeed spiritually wealthy through what Christ has done for us. And as we offer a portion of our resources for the benefit of others, we rejoice in the truth that Christ our Lord sets our spirits free from the burdens of earthly concerns, as we will one day all rejoice in the richness of God's heavenly kingdom, where it matters none what one possessed on earth. As Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 12, save your riches in heaven, where they will never decrease, because no thief can get to them and no moth can destroy them. For your heart will always be where your riches are. As we are led in a word of prayer by Judy, we also receive our tithes and offerings.
Dear God, on this icy day, we are very thankful that we all arrived here safely to this church where we feel safe and loved. We bring our offering to this church today and to you to show our love for you and for this church, to maintain it and to provide for those in need. We ask that you would bless this offering and guide us in the use of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated.
It is a joy to see each of you here in the Lord's house this morning. We trust that you all made it okay for making the journey here. And Tom, I want to express a genuine word of thanks to you and Trevin for especially working so diligently to get all that nasty ice all taken care of. We know that sometimes is certainly a big problem for us around the building, especially on the north side. You got all that cleared off. We are so grateful. Thank you. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are privileged to be in your house and to know that as we make our confession of faith, we are privileged to respond to your call and to know that that response is not just something we do once, but it is something we do daily. In Christ's name, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Amen. My particular Sunday school class is going to be embarking upon another study, this time about the 12 apostles. And we're going to be using a book simply titled 12 Ordinary Men by a pastor and Bible scholar named John MacArthur. But while my class is waiting for those books to come through the mail, and as a way of laying some groundwork for this series of messages, I think it's really important for us to also have some understanding about a few things, like why were 12 chosen? Why did Jesus preach in Galilee and not in the southern kingdom? How long did Jesus actually spend with his disciples? Those are going to be some of the kind of questions that we will strive to answer as we make our way through the study. And one thing we have to acknowledge is that several of the disciples, we don't know a whole lot about them because there's just not that much information. So we're going to spend a good bit of time on several of them, and some of the rest of them, we just essentially know them by name. One thing you already should know about those disciples whom were called apostles is that there was one major profession that most of them had. What is that? They were fishermen. By golly, getting out there and just casting that net time and time and time and time again, even though, you know, you might not come up with something, that takes a level of persistence that is profound, right? No wonder Jesus decided to have most of his apostles be fishermen. They just had to have that kind of tenacity about them. But before we start all that, today I'm focusing attention on this whole idea about responding to the call. When Jesus said, come and follow me, every one of those men had to be willing to say yes. I'll respond to your call. Now, Pope Francis has revealed himself as probably one of the most personable church leaders in modern history. This is significantly illustrated by his willingness to actually make a lot of personal phone calls. Now imagine the Pope, kind of like some other leaders throughout the country, the idea of getting in a vehicle and go see somebody personally, that's a little tough, isn't it? Because you have this entourage of security that's got to go along with you. Going to go see someone is really a huge task. However, picking up the phone and calling somebody, that's not so difficult. After all, doesn't create a lot of trouble for a lot of resources, does it? So that's what Pope Francis often does. He is known for simply picking up the phone and personally calling ordinary folks who have written to him about their hardships just to inquire about their personal concerns. And yet at the start of one particular new year, Pope Francis called a group of nuns in a Spanish convent simply to wish them a happy new year. But unfortunately, maybe even more so for the nuns, all the Pope received when he made the call was, guess what? The answering machine. Now, he left a message that later was obtained by a Spanish newspaper where he said, "This is Pope Francis. I wanted to offer you greetings for the end of the year. Maybe I'll try to call again later. May God bless you. That's all the message was. But, you know, regarding the telephone call, Pope Francis is also known to have asked, well, what were the nuns doing? But they couldn't answer the phone. But then at the same time, don't you know that, you know, when you're short-handed, sometimes you just got to leave the phone alone, you know, and get on about the tasks that are at hand. And certainly it's often the case for many religious orders today that they're often more short-handed than having too many folks to do the task, right? But don't you know that for Catholics, receiving a call from the Pope is nearly tantamount to receiving a call from God? So imagine how the nuns must have felt by missing that phone call. Yet I've often wondered, how many times do we find ourselves so occupied by worldly concerns that if God tried to call us, do you think he'd get an answer? You know, a lot of times we ignore our phone, unless you're on our phone list, you know, we just don't even answer that because it's going to be a junk call after all anyway, right? Even if it is the same area code, you're just inclined not to answer, right? Contemplating biblical stories, yet though we are in awe at the number of occasions in which God called people and they were willing to respond rather than to think that what was happening to them was just a figment of their imagination or some kind of crazy dream. Remember, God called Moses through the burning bush, right? Now, what was it about that burning bush, though, that really caught his attention? After all, maybe it could have just been a lightning strike. But there was something really astounding about that particular burning bush. What was it? It was not being consumed. Still green, if you will. The leaves are still intact while the flames flame up. What is this? Well, it was enough to make Moses pause and think twice about what was going on. How about Mary? We've talked about her on so many occasions here, especially during the Advent season. Mother being called to be the mother of Jesus by the visit from the angel Gabriel. And don't you know that was a spectacular event? And yet she needed a spectacular event to carry her forward through all of the gossip and stuff she would have had to have endured. Even, oh my gosh, what do you mean having a child before you're even married? Oh my goodness sakes, look at this, what's happening? We can see you're already pregnant and you're just engaged. Oh, the scandal of it all. Or even Joseph, to go ahead and willingly marry Mary simply because of a dream, answering the call of the dream. And how about Saul? Through the flashing light, the sound of the voice of Christ, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Through all of these instances and so many others throughout Scripture, what we see are people who are willing to respond to the call. And so that's why we lift up the story from the Old Testament this morning about Samuel's circumstance. Samuel's profound devotion to God was born out of the faithfulness of his mother, Hannah. And by calling out Samuel's name three times, there was no cause for doubt, either for Samuel or even for Eli. Both knew in that third calling that certainly there must be something of a spiritual nature going on here. And so that's why Eli says, go ahead, respond to the call. And he does. He says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And because Samuel was willing to respond to the call of God, the 21st verse tells us that when Samuel spoke, all Israel listened. Right? You know, for each of us, though, we are so often willing to say, oh, well, those are interesting stories. That's from the Bible anyway, but You know, that was then, and here we are now. And we even relegate this whole idea of a calling to who? A calling belongs to who? Well, the clergy. The clergy have a calling. They're called by God, but not the rest of us. And that's why I lift up to you this text from 2 Peter. For Simon Peter would beg to differ with you. Simon Peter believed that everyone who accepts Christ as Lord and Savior receives and answers a call from God. And therefore, we are led to this text of 2 Peter, the first chapter, the third verse. God's divine power has given us everything we need to live a truly religious life through our knowledge of the one who called us to share in his own glory and goodness. This is not the only text in which we have this notion that all are called by God. All believers are called by God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Here Paul says, God is to be trusted, the God who called you to have fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. If we believe in our calling by God, well then, how are we to respond to that call? Well, that's where we dig deeper into the text here. Verse 4, God has given us great and glorious gifts, so that by means of these gifts we may escape from the destructive lust of the world and we may come to share the divine nature of God. Again, in my Sunday school classes, we were kind of dwelling on this whole subject this morning after the first service. You know, we realized that for most of us, there has typically been a person, a godly person, who has inspired us personally to want to make our own confession of faith and want to live a godly life. And one of the things that was rather interesting is even my class members were talking about that very idea this morning, is that for most of us, that person was someone who had kind of like a grandparent kind of motif. Maybe not necessarily our own grandparents. Sometimes that was the case, a grandparent. But if not a grandparent by, you know, a family heritage, maybe someone who just had that grandmotherly or grandfatherly kind of context. So we look to them. We were inspired by their example, but what really stood out most was the godliness that would just emit from the very way that they lived their lives. And so what the text is telling us here in 2 Peter is that as we respond to the call from God, not only by making our confession of faith, but by striving to live a godly life, there really are virtues that are granted to us if we just listen to the scriptures and as we simply try to strive to live that godly life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, several of these virtues are mentioned. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And if you think of that person who has inspired you, it is likely that you have experienced and seen those attributes in the person you're thinking of, right? What's interesting to note is that that list that could easily be memorized and aspired toward is not the only list like that in Scripture. Paul has his fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Remember, we did a whole sermon series on Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, man of God is asked to follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. All of these are qualities that can shine forth in a person's life as one strives to respond to the call of God's presence within oneself. Then as we look further into this text of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, these qualities then will make you active and effective in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, brothers and sisters, Simon Peter says, try even harder to make God's call and his choice of you a permanent experience. If you do so, you will never abandon your faith. Now, you have to understand, this is being written at a time when Christian folks are really challenged to continue to be Christian. You know, it's one thing to make that confession of faith. It's another thing to stick with it. You know, when you're being persecuted for your faith because your faith is so different from the Greco-Roman world in which you live and sets you aside and makes it difficult to even make a living. Oh, it'd be so easy to step away from this business called Christianity. And yet, here Simon Peter is saying, if you follow these guidelines, if you strive for these qualities, you'll be firm in the faith. You will be responding to the call. Again, as he says, if you do so, you will never abandon the faith. And then as he continues in verses 11 and 12, in this way you will be given the full right to enter the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I will always remind you of these matters, even though you already know them and are firmly grounded in the truth that you have received. So before we embark upon our study of the apostles, let's first of all this morning ask ourselves, have we made our confession of faith? Yeah, most of us likely have. Some of you may not yet have. But even if you have, the big question is, every day, are you responding to God's call in your life by living that kind of quality of spiritual life that even the youngest among us will be looking at and seeing and experiencing in such a way that maybe you are the one that is inspiring that younger person to really want to experience Christ in their lives? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 340, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. May we stand and sing all stanzas 340, please.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Wait then and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me. Come home, you are weary, come home. come. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling a sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling a sinner, come home.
We thank you so much for being in the Lord's house this morning, and Michael and Christina, we are so filled with joy that you all were able to bring your son here this morning with your daughters. Praise God, it's going to be a joy to see you all. And Art and Janet, I think you all are going to be heading on your journey here, right? Next few days, right? So we're going to keep you in prayer. And as you have just a few more days, right, before you all head out, going to South Korea, right? So we know that's going to be quite a journey. We're going to lift you up in prayer in the midst of that journey. Certainly a lot of our folks are out and about, and many are still at home with the weather issue, so we'll see how we journey forward with the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Guide us today as we step forward in ways that Christ surely shines forth in the witness of our lives. For the privilege to be brothers and sisters in Christ, we are indeed grateful. Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is light to that above. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.